I'm going to tell you something right now that potentially could upset you. Maybe it might excite you. Maybe it might frustrate you. Maybe it might open your eyes. And that is, whether you like it or not, you have a personal brand. Whether that's your 300 followers on Instagram, your Facebook page, your LinkedIn that you put pretty much zero effort into, whatever it may be, the point is you have a digital footprint. So I guess I kind of somewhat lied in the title by saying, you know, this is how to start a personal brand. That's not entirely true because you already have one. I guess just to clarify further what I mean and the real purpose and intention of this video is to take your personal brand from something that is doing you damage in your life or something that is hindering you to something that becomes the number one asset that you could ever have. So with all that being said, let's get into a little presentation I put together for you. You see, I've made $100 million plus in my career, a number that 99.9% of people can only dream of. And the select few that get there take a lifetime to build this level of wealth. And most of it only comes in their 50s, 60s, 70s onwards. The difference is what takes most people a lifetime, if they even get there, took me less than 10 years. Now, I wanna make something very clear. I'm not saying that to hype myself up or trying to think, you know, I'm some genius. No, I simply had a competitive advantage. So the reason I say this is because I want to show you the power of what it is I'm teaching you here today. Coming from someone who has benefited greatly, I have been incredibly blessed. I've been incredibly lucky. I've been incredibly fortunate. Yes, of course. You know, I don't want to downplay the fact that I've worked extremely hard in my life, tirelessly. But hand on heart, if I had to attribute one thing towards my success over the last 10 years, it is my ability to build an intentional personal brand. Not the largest personal brand, and we're going to get into that in just a second, because there's a very big difference between having eyeballs and views and this and that just for no reason, compared to being very intentional with what it is you are building your personal brand for and what benefit. Because remember, you should not be a slave to your personal brand. Your personal brand should serve you in whatever way and through whatever benefits you wish to yield from it. So let's get back to it. You see, I went from, on the left here, a broke 16-year-old, you know, who picked up a camera initially because I had an interest in photography, videography, and that led to getting freelance clients, which then led to me starting my first proper real business, which was a creative agency. And throughout this process, building my personal brand, and I guess at the time, I wish I could say I was some genius that knew that all this was happening. No, I just kind of stumbled on all this and, you know, right place, right time. But what's funny, what took me 10 years could actually take you a lot less time, because for the first few years of building my personal brand, I was not intentional at all. There was no rhyme, no rhythm, no reasoning behind anything. It was just, quite frankly, a bit of a mess. So you get to circumvent that mess. And, you know, all that to say that I built an asset that allowed me to accumulate generational wealth in just a few years. And this one asset has allowed me to take care of my single mom. You know, the reason I actually started all these entrepreneurial ventures, very common story. I'm no special, unique snowflake. It's just a very common story of a son who sees his mom in pain. You know, my stepdad cut off me and my mom when we were 11 years old. My biological father had some issues, I guess you could say, he was dealing with, so he wasn't particularly the most stable. So out of absolutely everything I have in my life, the thing that I will be forever indebted and forever grateful for my personal brand for is taking care of the person that to me means the most in my life, which is my mother. And not only just my mom, but my friends getting to benefit from everything that a personal brand has afforded me, and even some of my philanthropic efforts. You know, it's pretty cool. Last year, I actually funded my 10th school. So for 6 years now, I've been building schools in places like Nepal, South Africa, all fully funded, taking profits from some of my businesses. And by the way, the reason I say some of this stuff to you is, you know, I don't mean to be preachy. I'm not trying to be patronizing. I just want you to understand that this is something that isn't going to change your life overnight. Okay, this is not like you're not going to click your fingers and then your wildest dreams will appear. No, if you keep focused and you stay dedicated, I genuinely believe this is the single most, and I'm telling you right now, this is the single most powerful asset that anyone can have in the world. And that asset is my personal brand. Now, let me be clear. This isn't something I just randomly stumbled across. Okay, the elite already know that a personal brand is the most valuable asset on earth. They know that we have an attention-driven economy. Attention is a new currency. So when I say this isn't something I've stumbled on, I'm not saying like, oh, it worked for me, so, you know, it must work for everyone. No, like, just look around, you know, look around and ask yourself things such as, why do you see the likes of Donald Trump and Elon Musk become so active on social platforms and going on podcasts like the Joe Rogan Experience? A few years ago, they were known for their wealth. They didn't bother trying to connect with the masses or appeal to the masses. So what happened now? They understood the power of building a personal brand. A personal brand leads to more eyes, and that leads to more power, which inevitably leads to more money. I mean, just look at Donald Trump. He won the US election using the power of a personal brand, okay? And even Tesla, the Tesla share price is up over 70% in the last 6 months. And listen, I know these are some extreme examples. I'm not saying you need to build a personal brand, you know, to be world famous or to rule the world. So instead, let's take a look at some of my friends who use their personal brands to become multimillionaires. But, you know, in fact, these are very humble individuals, but, you know, these individuals are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. We have my friend George Sheehan, who owns a company called Represent on the left. In the last 10 to 20 years, this is the most successful fashion company to come out of the UK. Now, most of that has only happened in the last 4 years when he started to create more content, more founder-led content. He built his own micro-niche personal brand. He's not got millions and millions of subscribers. He only has a few hundred thousand on his Instagram, but that was enough to really build the brand. And to get it to the point where, even in his own words, 5-6 years ago, the brand was really struggling. And then he started posting more content, taking his personal brand more seriously. And then now, as I said, they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Or my friend Guillaume on the right, with zero outside funding, he bootstrapped Lemless to a multi-$100 million valuation. Once again, through the power of a micro niche personal brand where he focuses primarily on LinkedIn, created content, built a little tribe there, and was able to build a multi-$100 million company off the back of it. Okay. Now, I've just given you a number of examples of people who have built generational wealth by building a personal brand and capitalizing on the new attention-driven economy. So you have to ask yourself, why are you ignoring the biggest opportunity of the decade? The truth is, I know why. You think that you need millions of followers to get rich. You don't think that you're interesting enough, and you don't know where to start. So in today's video, I'm going to help you solve these problems. Today, I'm going to break all of the misconceptions you have about building a personal brand. Today, I will show you what actually matters when you're building a personal brand. And today, I'll walk you through my 4-step process, not only to build a personal brand, but to make money with it as well. So let's start off with the first step, which is clarifying your intention. You see, if you are watching this video, you are thinking, well, I don't want to build a personal brand. And I hate to break it to you, you already have one, okay? A personal brand is just the world's perception of you. Whether you're the most successful entrepreneur in the world or you're out every weekend shotgunning beers, how people perceive you is your personal brand. The $1 million question is, does your brand hurt you or does your brand help you? Your personal brand will impact every area of your life. Getting into your dream college, getting your dream job, even buying your first Rolex when you go put your name down on a waiting list. It impacts everything. I'm telling you right now, no matter what you're trying to do, you're trying to join a private members club, you're trying to buy a Rolex, you're trying to get an allocation for this, you're trying to join college. Listen, quite frankly, even in your romantic life, in every area of your life, you have a personal brand. It's just a matter of, is your personal brand gonna help you or is it gonna hinder you? So I think it's pretty much safe to assume that you want a personal brand to help you, but you need to understand how it can help you. And this is truly where the intention comes in. Let me explain what I mean. When I was running my agency, IG Media, I was building a personal brand around marketing and SMA with the intention of attracting new clients and ultimately making more money. My intention was very clear at that point. And it's not just me, by the way, who did this. A personal brand will turbocharge anything you are currently doing or anything you want to do in the future, as long as you build your brand with the correct intention. I mean, let's take a look at Nico Leonard. Nico owns a luxury watch retail business, so he built his brand around luxury watches with the intention of attracting more clients for his business. Let's take a look at Ryan Serhant. Ryan sold luxury real estate, so he built his brand around luxury real estate with the intention of attracting more buyers and making more money in the process. Or let's take a look at a very interesting gentleman, Magri Alberto. Now, he actually owns a pastry shop, so he built a personal brand showing off his pastries with the intention of attracting more people to his pastry shop. Fascinating. This works for everything, clearly. All Ryan, Nico, Magri, and I all have two things in common. Number one, we work backwards. We knew we wanted to make more money and we found something to sell to make that money. And then we figured out what our perfect client looks like. And then we built an intentional brand to attract more of those clients through our content. So first thing, ask yourself, what are you gonna sell? What do you wanna sell? Then what does your perfect follower or subscriber or whatever it is look like? And then how do you attract more of these followers? The second is, the goal was never to use our brands to get famous. We wanted to use our brands to get rich. A certain level of fame did come with it in the process, but the intention was always to get rich. And bear in mind, you know, going back to example of George and Guillaume, you know, personal friends of mine, these guys can walk down the street pretty much anywhere, no one's gonna recognize them. Yeah, of course, like when they're in their industries, you know, they're doing events in their industries. Of course, everyone in the industry knows each other, but with just a few hundred thousand followers, you're not gonna be swarmed any place you go. Yeah, maybe the occasional person might ask you for a photo. And by the way, I don't say that in a bad way. I'm saying they have played the game right, where they can go anywhere, and yet they have still built hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of value from their personal brand without having to be a clown online or a dancing monkey or a, you know, just basically post content just for the sake of views. So now would actually be a good time to break the biggest misconception about building a personal brand. You do not need millions of followers to get rich with a personal brand. You just need 1,000 of the right ones. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine, John, who I've known for 9 and 8 years, he met when I was 16 or 17. We actually got introduced. That was still in the heyday of me trying to get my agency off the ground. So I've known him for a long time. Now, he only has 4,000 YouTube subscribers and 5,000 Instagram followers. Despite his modest following, John makes multiple 5 figures a month with his coaching business. Despite his audience being small, his audience quality is good, so he's still able to make hundreds of thousands thousands of dollars a year from it. Now, this is an example of what I call a micro personal brand. A micro personal brand is a brand that doesn't optimize for audience size, but focuses on audience quality. Too many people look at vanity metrics like followers, subscribers, and likes. Remember, your goal is to get rich. You should be looking at profit per follower. So which audience would you rather have? 1,000 followers at $1 per follower, or would you rather have 1,000 followers at $150 per follower? Okay, of course, you know what the answer is. It's much better to make more money with a smaller audience. You see, if you're a real estate agent, your goal is not to attract millions of followers with no money. You would rather attract a few thousand followers who are actively looking to buy property. If you are a female personal trainer, your goal isn't to attract millions of male followers. Your focus should be to attract a few thousand women who are actively looking to lose weight. Well, I know what you're thinking. You're like, okay, easy enough for you to say, man. You have 5.5 million subscribers, so it's very easy for you to sit on your high horse and say these things. So you know what? Let me go ahead and prove I practice what I preach. This is another one of my channels. It's called Iman Gadji Business. It has about 10, 15,000 subscribers. And by the way, I post on this weekly. You would think that, okay, well, he has a channel with 5.5 million subscribers. Why is he not posting that content on here? Because I'm speaking to business owners and business owners only. On that channel, if you make less than $250,000 a year in your business, it's just too high level and it's actually gonna confuse you. It's gonna do more harm than it is good. So I even practice where I preach, where I actually silo and I segregate and I make content specifically tailored to my ideal client, to my ideal prospect, whatever it may be. So I'm living proof that a niche personal brand can work, because I've even taken my large personal brand and basically turned it into a niche personal brand by having separate smaller channels depending on what it is that I'm trying to accomplish, or you know, what sort of prospects or what sort of segment of the market I'm trying to speak to. Now, after this step, focus on answering two questions. Who is my perfect follower and how do I attract more of those followers? Next, pick your platform. You see, once you've clarified your intention, the obvious next step is to find a platform to build on. In 2025, you have a variety of different options. You've got X, or Twitter. I will always forever call it Twitter. You've got X, you've got LinkedIn, you've got YouTube, you've got TikTok, you've got Instagram. At this point in my personal branding journey, I have built my personal brand using all of them, and I have accumulated approximately 12 million followers in the process. Remember that I am at a different stage in my personal branding journey. Just like you, I had to start somewhere and pick a platform to start with, and for me, that was YouTube. But there's a reason why I chose YouTube as my original platform. Now, I'm gonna be transparent. At the time, I wasn't as calculated as what I'm telling you here today. Like, I wasn't as intentional as I was today, okay? For me, YouTube, I was just a young kid that had a passion for videography, so that's why I chose. Like, there really wasn't that much extra thinking. You know, I always wanna be honest with you guys as to like, when something was a very good, strategic, intentional decision, and something was just like, I just did something and it worked. And YouTube was really one of those where I happened to upload on it and it happened to be the right decision. By the time, I was just like, okay, well, I like making videos, so let me just post on YouTube. But for you today, let's be more calculated. Okay, there are three questions you need to ask yourself. First, which platform matches your intention? Second, which platform suits your skills and hides your weaknesses? Are you building a faceless personal brand or a front-facing personal brand? Now, building your personal brand with clear intention is all about attracting the right audience, but different types of people are more active on different platforms. I mean, let's think about it logically. If you are selling corporate law services, where are you more likely to attract an audience of corporate CEOs? LinkedIn or TikTok? If you're running a photography business and your perfect audience are up-and-coming influencers that need your services, where would you rather build an audience? X or Instagram? When you are picking your platform, you give yourself a huge head start if you create content where your ideal audience already hangs out, where they already spend their time. The second consideration you need to think about when picking your platform is your personal skill set. I mean, think about it. Every platform requires different skill sets. I had a personal interest in photography and videography, so YouTube actually played to my strengths, so this was a good starting point for me. Platforms like X and LinkedIn required me to get better at copywriting, which wasn't something that I was interested in at that time, and it didn't really play to my strengths. Now today I use them and they're a part of my strategy, but that was something I implemented much further down the line. Now when you are picking your platform, ask yourself what type of content plays to your strengths. If you prefer writing and know you can send a clear message using words, then yeah, stick to LinkedIn and Twitter. If instead you want to be on camera and you prefer making video content, then YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, okay? If you feel like you don't have a particular preference, remember, confidence comes from competence. Choose a platform and improve as you go. One of the things that I think people really appreciate about me is I have videos from 2015 still on my YouTube channel. You can go back, you can see. Like, you think that I made my first YouTube video and it was all polished and clean. No, it took some time, and confidence comes from competence. Now I'm a decent speaker. I'm definitely not the best public speaker in the world. I'm definitely not the best orator in the world. I've had no formal training. I just talked a lot. Like, quite frankly, I yapped a lot, I blabbered a lot. And when you do that enough, you eventually will get good at it. As I said, confidence comes from competence. The more repetitions you put in there, the more competent you are, and the more competent you are, of course, the more confident you're gonna be. And I said, don't believe me? Well, just look at my videos when I started compared to my videos today. I mean, feel free to go back to my channel back in 2016 and in 2015 even, and go look at those videos, okay? And look at how far the evolution has come from back then to now. You know, actually, I'll even get my team to include some of the clips so that way you can see just how bad I was back then.
I'm really improving my strength, and I'd say I'm quite strong.
And how far things have come these days. Now, the final consideration is whether you want to show your face or you don't. Now, let me be honest with you. A personal brand where you show your face will always be better than a personal brand where you don't. If you don't want to show your face, ask yourself why. Do you lack confidence? Are you embarrassed what people might think? You see, I understand, you know, I was in your shoes when I first started. I want to urge you to take the leap as I did, because building my personal brand is something I haven't regretted a single day in my life. But if you are set on building a faceless personal brand, your options are Twitter or YouTube. You see, on X, you can create content using an alias and still provide as much value as possible. And then on YouTube, you can create walkthroughs that provide value without using a face cam. Now, I stand by what I said though, you can be successful by building a faceless personal brand, but people do connect with people. So it is much easier to grow a front-facing brand compared to a faceless brand. Now, I want you to work through these three questions and pick your platform. It is fine to choose more than one, but do not try to master all of them from day one. Make content where your perfect audience is and play to your strengths. A jack of all trades is a master of none. So let's get into the fun stuff. Start creating content. You see, once you know your intention, once you picked your platform, now it is time to start creating content. Content is the most powerful tool you can use to build your personal brand and turbocharge whatever you are doing right now or anything you want to do in the future. Content truly is the eighth wonder of the world. Why? Because content allows you to achieve something called negative cost of acquisition. You see, if you run ads, you are paying the social media platforms a fee, which means there is a cost to acquire every new client you get. Whereas if you create content and you make sales organically through the content that you create, the platforms actually pay you for the views that you get while you make the majority of your revenue from the sales that you generate on the back end. And by the way, this is like the holy grail of business. Like, when you get paid to make money, it's like it goes against every single business principle, but yet it's something that you can actually accomplish this week, this month, this year. And you could do it at scales and levels that, like, sometimes you just have to stop and pinch yourself. Look, I'll show you a perfect example of this. This is one of my VSLs that I put on YouTube channel a few years ago. Now, YouTube paid me $266,000 in AdSense, okay? So you would say, you know, very decent. You got paid $250,000 for a YouTube video. That's impressive. Now, what you don't see is that this video alone generated me $20 million in sales. YouTube paid me $250,000 to make $20 million. This is the negative cost of acquisition, the ability to attract clients without paying and even making money during that client acquisition process. By the way, just so you know the numbers that actually went into this, about 10 million people watched this video, and from that 10 million people, I think it was like 12 or 13,000 people actually bought a product, an info product that I offered at the end if people wanted to take it a step further past what I actually taught in the training. And that info product was $1,500, so yeah, I mean, you can do the math. $20 million in sales. And by the way, because there's no cost of acquisition in terms of gross profit, I'm not talking as a business, I'm talking gross profit, there's about $20 million in our company's pocket. So clearly this stuff works. So now that you understand the power of content, how do you actually make content that attracts the right audience and allows you to attain a negative cost of acquisition? Well, content all starts with visibility. You see, once you've picked your platform, you need to start posting. Not just posting now and again, you just start posting consistently. Lots of people look at my YouTube growth and claim that I got lucky or I was just in the right place at the right time. What you don't see is I have posted 439 videos over the last 9 years. That equates to roughly a video a week for a 9-year period. The reason I am visible is because I have always been consistent. But consistency does not guarantee results. You see, with the right strategy, you can grow your audience in just a few months. I'm gonna show you a channel called Callaway as an example. He started his channel just over 4 months ago, and take a look at his growth in 4 months. In the last 4 months, he's grown 75,000 subscribers, 1.6 million views, 21 videos, and I can almost guarantee you that in those 4 months, he has made at a minimum $250,000, potentially upwards of $1 million from that audience that he's garnered in just literally the last 120 days. Now, there are three content pillars you must incorporate into your strategy: authenticity, impact, and intention. Authenticity is content that is true to you. Impact is content that solves a problem. And intention is content that attracts your perfect audience. So let's start off with authenticity. You see, when you watch or read my content, I do not try to emulate anyone else, and I am unapologetically me. I understand some of you guys will hate me, some of you guys will love me. Quite frankly, I have no control over that. All I have control over is, am I showing up to the world as me? If you don't like that, that's cool, that's fine. I will never be everyone's cup of tea, and that is totally fine, okay? Now I'll give you an example of this. Since day one, I have always dressed the same. This is a photo, what, 7 years ago at this point? So yeah, this is a photo from 7 years ago, and this is a photo from 2 years ago. I have always just dressed like a bit of a grandpa, okay? So that's me. Now I know these days there's this whole trend of like old money, blah, blah, this is lifestyle, like, so I guess it's nice that's a trend, but I have been living authentically like that for years. And it's because it was authentic to me that after a while, people started to resonate that with my style. Now, another example, I was already a multi-millionaire and I didn't own a car. Now it's funny because I get people tell me, oh, but you know, you flex for social media. I'm gonna try to say this in the least douchey way possible, but I know I'll still come across as douchey. I had made tens of millions of dollars before I ever bought my first car. The reason why, I just didn't care. I didn't have a use for it. I didn't have a purpose for it. It was not something that was important in my life. The cities I was living in geographically, it just didn't really make sense. And then eventually when I bought my first car, you would think, okay, he's bought his first car. It's gonna be this crazy Ferrari, Lamborghini, it's a Range Rover. And since then, fair enough, I have a pretty sizable car collection. But the point is I had already made tens of millions of dollars before I ever bought my first car. And my first car was just a utility vehicle, a Range Rover. Now, I'm not saying this to say that I'm some monk and I don't spend any money and oh, look at me. No, no, no. I spent money on things that were authentic to me and that I genuinely enjoyed and appreciated. I love horology. I've always loved horology ever since I bought my first watch, which was a Timex Expedition for £20 at Argos. Anyone who lives in Britain knows what I'm talking about there. And yeah, I spent millions and millions and millions of dollars on watches before I ever bought my first car. Why? Because that was just authentic to me, okay? I invested and showcased something I love, which is watches. And I've been doing that for years and years and years. Now, once again, even watches in the last 4 or 5 years, it's become a thing. But when I first started buying them seriously, like heavily investing, 7, 8 years ago, once I started doing okay for myself financially, I guess you could say, it wasn't like a thing back then. And I think it's just this whole like being yourself and being unapologetically yourself, whether people like it or they don't, where people trust you, okay? People trust you and people trust that you are not doing anything that isn't truly you. There's something that they may not agree with, there's some things they may not do themselves, but they respect it because like, you know what? This guy's not trying to be anyone who he's not. And I have to respect that. Listen, I've even gone as far as to share private voice notes I sent friends during my darkest times. You know, I'm happy to even overlay it right now.
Like over the past 2-3 weeks, I keep waking up with this crippling anxiety. And I just don't feel like myself.
And I shared that publicly with the world, not because I fucking wanted sympathy. And quite frankly, I knew that not many people would give me sympathy because at that stage of my life, I had done well in every area and I had quote-unquote made it, so I didn't want sympathy. And quite frankly, I only posted a year after I was in that headspace, which maybe it would have been even more brave to share it real time as it was happening. But the reason I shared it is because I wanted to show the audience the authentic, unfiltered version of myself. An audience does not resonate with a hero, they resonate with the journey. Be authentic and take the audience on the journey with you, okay? Now, of course, authenticity is important, but it will only take you so far. Providing value is not only what keeps new followers coming, but is the reason your current audience will keep coming back. Before I get into how you make impactful content through providing value, I want to deal with another misconception. You do not have to be an expert to provide value, okay? Also, by the way, expert is a very, this is a gray area. Like, what makes an expert? Who says someone is an expert? Because you can't guarantee that what they're saying is right or wrong. I mean, listen, we've seen many, many times over the space of the last 5 years ago where people were quote unquote experts. Oh, you have to trust the experts. You have to listen to experts. And then we've all found out that the experts were lying to us this entire time. So like, you know, just the whole expert thing, like that's a big misconception. Let me kind of break down what I mean here. I want you to take a look at Joe Wicks, for example. Joe has almost 5 million Instagram followers and has made millions, I would actually say tens of millions of dollars by posting simple HIIT workouts and showing people how to cook simple, healthy meals. He's not a professional bodybuilder, okay? He isn't a professional bodybuilder, he isn't a professional chef. He is a normal guy who documented his health journey and helped others do the same by creating content. He is just a relatable guy who knows how to get people from point A to point B. Level one wants to learn from level five on how to get to level three. A person at level one doesn't want to learn from someone at level 100 because they're like, it's been so long since you were back here and the stage you're at is so unrelatable and I don't even think you even remember how to go from level one to level five. So that is your advantage, is the fact that you have a closer proximity to where a person wants to get to than someone who's so far ahead. Now there are really three content angles you can use to provide value to your audience. First, teach them something. Second is present new opportunities to your audience. And last is share your personal experience. Now, a quick note on this is I use my YouTube as an example, but this works on every single platform, okay? Intention. Now, I have spoken about intention at length, but I will continue to say it. Make content to attract the right audience. Vanity metrics do not matter. Make content to attract the right audience, not a big audience. If a big audience comes, you can't stop it, okay? But that should not be the goal, okay? So let me break down two of my YouTube channels as an example. You have the main channel here. Now, I use my main channel to attract a wide audience of beginners looking to learn more about online business. The videos are broader and easy for beginners to understand. I also mention 100,000 in the title because that is a goal that many beginners have. In the past, I've intentionally attracted beginners to the main channel. Now, let's talk about my business channel. I use my business channel to attract an audience of established business owners making over $250,000 a year. The videos are ultra specific and super boring for beginners. The thumbnails intentionally has high level terms such as cart abandonment, which deter beginners. I intentionally attract an experienced audience. Like, I'm actively trying to say, hey, if you're in this bucket, I love you, I respect you, I appreciate you, I wish you the best, I just don't serve you, okay? Like, I'm not the right guy for you. And as a business, we're not the right organization for you, because as I mentioned, with the business channel, we have a business-to-business licensing offer, and you literally have to be making $250,000. We don't work with beginners, we don't even work with intermediates. You have to be an established business, otherwise we can't help you. The stuff we do for you won't even apply. So trust me, when I tell you these things, I'm not just telling you rough concepts or things that I think are right. These are all things that I truly live and experience every single day, and I implement every single day. Now, you're gonna notice that the views on the business channel are significantly lower, but do I care? No, I don't care, because I'm attracting the audience I want. So now that you understand the three content pillars, let's talk about two content types. We have superficial content. Now, superficial content makes you known. This type of content tells your story and builds trust between you and your audience. And then you have in-depth content. In-depth content makes you money. This content builds authority because you are educating your audience, which leads to income in the future. Now, you need both, okay? Within these content types, there are different types of content categories that exist. You have actionable content, which is show people how, the 8-step SMA outreach process in 2024. You have narrative content, tell a story. I never follow my passion, and neither should you. You have theoretical content, help understand why. My 5-step system to building a $100 million team. Attractor content, which is sharing your results. Now, all of these content categories fall into either of the content types. Actionable and theoretical content is usually more in-depth. Attractor and narrative content, on the other hand, usually lean towards more superficial. Now, understanding the types of content is valuable, but doesn't mean anything if you can't come up with the ideas. Now, I have made thousands of pieces of content across all different platforms. Actually, I think that is a lie. I think at this point, between all platforms, I may be almost at 100,000 pieces of content, like genuinely, especially because of all of our short form accounts. I think I may actually be close to that. So trust me when I tell you, I can speak from experience. Now, you might be thinking, oh, well, you're just incredibly creative and ideas just consistently come to you. No, listen, of course not, all right? I have a content ideation process. One of the best ways to come up with content is to study what other people are doing. And no, do not just copy what other people are doing within your niche of content. You need to start looking at what content has performed well for other creators in every other niche possible. Most good content is packaged like this. Niche, problem, solution, okay? You can look at any piece of content that's performing well, copy the exact packaging, and just insert your niche, problem, and solution. The idea is already there. You just need to make it your own. Now, if you're creating on YouTube and you wanna find videos that are performing well, use vidIQ to find outlier videos. You can see an example right here. Do this to make 10,000 as a student. It's a 13x multiple. This is one of the videos that performed really well, and you can see that inside of vidIQ. This will be the perfect video to take and repackage in another niche. Taking inspiration from others is a good start, but you wanna follow a standard framework when you create content. Now, I have a framework that I follow, especially for my long form content, and that's for the power of three framework. Big idea, three main points, three sub points, and then a clear takeaway. Now, at this point, you have everything you need to start posting content. You understand the power of content. You have the content pillars, the content types, the content categories. I have shown you how to come up with ideas and how to structure your content using proven frameworks. But none of this will work if you do not prompt your audience to watch or read the content you make. All content needs a good hook. A hook is the first line of a video or a piece of copy. It is arguably the most important element of your content. If it is boring, people stop watching. Hooks should always contain one of these: bold claim, spark curiosity, and promise value. Now, I want you guys to all set yourself a challenge for the next 10 days. I want you to create 5 pieces of content over the next 10 days. No need to post it, okay? I just want you to get some reps in quick so you can start seeing the improvement. Remember, competence breeds confidence. So you're not posting this anywhere, okay? You're simply creating content, you're getting those repetitions in, you're practicing, and that's all we're really trying to do here. Now, monetize your brand. You now have the tools you need to build a personal brand. You understand the concept of building an intentional personal brand. You know how to pick the platform that will suit you the best, and you understand how to start creating content. And that is what goes into a personal brand. So Now you need to monetize your brand. Remember, your goal is not to be famous, your goal is to be rich. And in 2025, there are so many ways to monetize your personal brand. Early in this video, I already discussed how building a personal brand can turbocharge your current career. Just take a look at Nico Leonard, Ryan Serhant, Magri Alberto, and there are countless other examples doing this. I mean, let's take a look at Dr. Alex as an example. He is a chiropractor from the US who used TikTok to build a huge personal brand and has made millions in the process. He has celebrity clients, he's booked for months, if not years in advance, and he can price his services as high as he wants. His personal brand has led to demand. Even the world's best chiropractor cannot compete with Alex because his brand is too strong. But maybe you want to move away from what it is that you are doing right now. Maybe you're not a business owner yet. Maybe you hate your career. Maybe you're just looking to get your online career started. Well, I have good news for you. You can have a clean slate. You see, when you do have a clean slate, there's one thing that you should be selling in today's economy, and that is information. This is something I've done better than pretty much anyone else in the world. Now, I know what you're thinking, but there's a stigma around selling courses. But I just want to challenge your thinking for a second. You see, every single person watching this video right now has bought info before. When you buy a book, you're buying info. When you go to school, you're buying info. When you go to college, you're buying info. Even earlier today, when I was with my tennis instructor, I was buying info. He has information on how to play tennis better, and I am paying him for that information to teach me. My tennis instructor is not holding my hand and forcing me to hit the ball. No, it's not like he's doing it for me. I am paying him for the information, for the knowledge transfer, for him to transfer the information from his head into my head. So we all pay for info. Whether you like it or not, we have all paid for info and we will always pay for info. And info is one of the biggest industries in the world. Bear in mind, when I had a call with my corporate lawyer last night to advise me on a new company, he is not doing it for me. I am paying him for his information. He is advising me, okay? So you need to understand personal training, consulting firms. You know, for example, even when I pay my boxing coach, do I pay him to box for me? Of course not. I am paying him to transfer his experience and information about boxing to me in the form of training and advice. I am paying for information. The way that information is transferred is the only difference, and this is called packaging. I'm not even recommending that you guys should sell courses, okay? There are many ways to package up info. It could be one-on-one coaching, it could be group coaching, it could be courses, it could be a book. I don't recommend writing a book, by the way. But you know, the point is, there's so many ways to deliver this stuff. Some of the most famous people in the world have sold info at scale. Tony Robbins. I mean, Tony Robbins is worth upwards of $600 million. To be honest, I think it's in the few billion at this point. And he has made a large portion of that money by selling info. He has speaker events. He's written multiple books. He even has his Life Mastery program that sells for upwards of $10,000. Now, I know your self-doubt is creeping in. You're saying, well, I'm not an expert in any field. How could I sell info? Well, the thing is, times are changing. Everyone on Earth has access to the largest database of information ever created, artificial intelligence. Now, 5 years ago, selling info would take months or even years of research to synthesize the information we needed to solve a specific problem. Today, with the help of AI, you can synthesize information from the greatest minds in the world and compile it into an actionable plan in just a few minutes. I know this because this is literally what one of my software companies does. It's called Synthesis AI. But synthesizing knowledge isn't enough. There are two other things you need. The first one we've already discussed, and that is a micro personal brand that you build using content strategies we've discussed throughout this video. But the second is a unique value zone, because you don't want to sell in markets like health or online business. You know, that's impossible. Even at a niche level like weight loss or dropshipping, it's too saturated. You need to find your UVZ using the third layer theory. You see, once you go down three layers from the market level, you start to see untapped markets that are big enough to sell ultra specific information to. I'll give you an example. You don't want to sell in health, you don't want to sell weight loss, but you will want to sell weight loss for new mothers, okay? Once you have your UVZ, you can then take time to understand the biggest problems that exist in your unique value zone. Next, use AI to synthesize all the information out there into an actual plan to solve that problem. Just so you truly understand this, you could go dedicate your entire life to researching a topic and go banish yourself to the mountains for 10 years and just study one specific topic. You're a human, okay? You're gonna be able to study this much information in 10 years. Whereas AI can synthesize every single article, every single book, every single piece of information that has ever been put out about a specific topic. With the right AI technology, you can do that now. And in the most respectful way possible, you're not gonna beat AI, okay? You simply cannot compete. You simply cannot synthesize information at a rate faster than AI. And then what you do is you take that information and you offer it as a one-on-one coaching that you sell while you grow your micro personal brand. You see, one-on-one coaching is the best way to start monetizing your micro personal brand, because you can charge anywhere from $3,000 even up to $20,000 per client. You only need 3 to 5 clients a month. With even 1,000 people that are the right audience size, you can make a full-time income. The product effort obviously is very minimal, and sales difficulty is very easy when you are selling to a UVZ. If you sell people a weight loss, okay, cool, like get in line. Whereas if you're selling specifically to women who want to lose postpartum weight, that's a very different story. So as you can see, one-on-one coaching is a no-brainer when you get started. I even still do it to this day. And by the way, don't fall for this whole, oh, don't sell your time for money trap. You do realize professional sports people, global artists, and even the CEOs of the biggest companies in the world sell their time for money. Taylor Swift goes on a world tour and makes $1 billion. And by the way, she sold her time for money, okay? The CEO of Google sells his time for money. He just makes $100 million a year in the process. So there's nothing wrong with selling your time for money. It's just about making sure that your time is as valuable as possible. Now, I'm not gonna be covering how to build and run your coaching offer in full detail today, because I really wanna go more in depth with that. So I'm actually gonna be doing a full training about coaching in an upcoming video. So to wrap up this video, I wanna leave you with the fact that I'm gonna be honest, building my personal brand was the best thing I have ever done. My personal brand is the driving force behind my companies. And by the way, not just my software companies or my info businesses, even my eyewear. You know, comes from my eyewear business. My eyewear business is my smallest business, and it still makes $2 million a year in profit. And my personal brand is the petrol and fuel for all of this, okay? This is undoubtedly the best asset that you can build. So don't look back at this video in a year wondering, oh, well, I knew there was the right thing to do. I knew that a personal brand, whatever career I'm in. And by the way, if you're a personal trainer, you need to remember, a personal brand is not a business model. A personal brand is an asset that guarantees that whatever you do in life, you get to play life on easy mode, basically. Now, as many of you guys know, because I get DMs about it every single day, I have actually closed enrollments for my all-in-one personal brand software stack. So I have a company called Monetize where I basically license a few of my different software companies. So Synthesis AI, Flowsy, another one of my software companies. And we actually threw in Personal Brand Blueprint, which we were tempted to charge separately as a course for, but decided to actually just throw that in for free because I'd rather you succeed with the softwares. So as it currently stands, Monetize is still closed. But I want to give you an opportunity. If you are serious about building and monetizing your personal brand in 2025, go ahead to my main Instagram and DM me personal brand. And if you seem like an awesome person for us to work with, you know, we take our work very, very seriously. I've spent so many years at this point building the best softwares, the best tools, the best courses, the best training, the best everything to make sure that we have the results that we do. So go ahead and shoot me personal brand on Instagram. We'll have a little conversation. And for a select few, I'm actually going to reopen the software stack. So with that being said, shoot me a message on Instagram. I hope this training has been useful for you. Trust me, I have a bunch more incredible ones lined up for this year. And as always, I'm watching from afar and I'm rooting for you.